This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Joining us live, we have Dr. Craig McCabe. Hi, Doctor. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great. I hope everybody did not get soaked over the weekend, but had a nice weekend and caught up on some of their things and started to get ready for the holidays.
That's right. We did see a lot of rain this weekend, but, you know, I also saw a few Christmas trees in people's windows already.
Yeah, you know, it seems to go earlier each year, but I think people really enjoy Christmas. They're looking forward to Christmas this year, maybe more than ever, and they can't wait to get started on it. And I know the merchants are ready and willing to help them out with that.
You know, I don't know about you, but I feel like, you know, since COVID and that huge pandemic we had, I feel like this is the first year that people are really making that first step at kind of coming back to normalcy in a big way. And I think incomes are starting to go back up a little bit to where folks are able to have Christmas like they used to, maybe.
Yeah, as you know, all the economic indicators that we want to go up are going up, and all the ones we want to go down have turned the corner and are starting to go down. So this is great, but let's not forget about today's date, that back, the 11th month at the 11th hour that the armistice agreement was signed, where World War I was ended, and we remember all of our veterans that had served in that and had helped free up, you know, most of Europe and America. You know, it's interesting how things change, right? That was 1918. So that was, 106 years ago, about, by my count?
Yes, and, that's right.
You know, it was interesting. Do you remember who we were fighting against that day?
Who were we fighting against that day? That's a good question. You know, that's something I think that a lot of people forget in today's times.
Yeah, so Germany, of course, was the main one. And then there were two other groups. But we were fighting against Germany. And you know who we were fighting with on our side? Russia.
That's right. And France, I believe, as well.
That's correct. Yeah, most of the European countries.
That's right.
So, you know, it's amazing how times and borders and attitudes and political positions have changed in 100 years, right? Now, Germany is our friend, part of NATO with us, and the Russia seems to be trying to influence our elections and everything else.
You know, it's wild how over the years things do change, countries change, leaders change, and we will continue to see change, you know, for the rest of our lives.
Yes, exactly right. But one thing we don't want to change is our admiration and our thankfulness for those before us that fought hard, left their families, a lot of times left a living, you know, to get our country to where we are today and help so many across Europe. So we want to thank anyone that knows anyone or is a relative of anyone that served back then.
Definitely. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe, local eye doctor, on the air with us this morning. You know, I don't think anybody these days in the U.S. doesn't at least know somebody who is in the military services or has served at one point or another.
That's right. And many of them have gone into harm's way, so to speak, and have come back different some way, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally. And they have paid a heavy price for us to have the wonderful life that we live.
Definitely so. And you know, you, like many businesses in town, have served a lot of veterans over the years.
Oh, absolutely. I've had a contract here with the VA as an external eye doctor for when they get too backed up to see all the veterans that they need to see here at the Murfreesboro VA. And it's been a pleasure and an honor to do so.
And for older veterans, I would guess just like the regular population, a lot of the problems they have seen over the years would be things like, glaucoma, cataracts, things like that. And then I'm not sure if there's service-related problems with the eyes or not. I don't know if they've been reported in the past, but I do know that they suffer a lot of the exact same problems that everybody else does.
Well, trauma, unfortunately, is one of the worst ones, from shrapnel, shockwaves. There's been a lot of chemical exposure during the Vietnam Wars with Agent Orange and things like that that have really, really caused lifelong problems for so many that have served there. And it's not really talked about much or mentioned much or reported much. But besides all the ailments that all of us will suffer through and have to deal with of just getting older, then they had extra heaped upon them for what they had to go through to protect our country.
For those who got Agent Orange and who had cancer as a result of it years later and went through cancer treatment, are there eye-related problems that do develop with that treatment that goes along with treating cancer?
You know, I am not aware of that in the literature. There are sporadic reports, but of course you can't really do any, you know, scientific studies on it because it has so many ill effects that it would be inhumane to put people through that. But so many things have been reported that it can cause or that it can be associated with. It's very hard to make that distinction.
I bet. And that's probably true with a lot of treatments that go along with different types of cancer too.
Well, yeah. I mean, cancer, of course, now we're starting to come out with some genetic treatments more targeted for that person and that cancer treatments. Those are the best kind because they have the least amount of side effects and damage to normal healthy cells. So that's the problem with cancer treatment, is trying to have a specific treatment or bullet or radiation or whatever you want to call it that just hits the cancer cells and not the normal cells.
You know, Dr. McCabe, I read an interesting article recently that talked about how veterans of the Iraq War and Afghanistan Wars, they were more likely to experience vision loss than a lot of veterans in the past because of traumatic brain injuries.
Oh, absolutely. So there's five lobes to the brain, and the one that occupies the very back of the skull is the occipital lobe, which is where your vision cortex is for seeing. And so all kinds of shock trauma, you can have, it's called coup or contra coup, whether it hits the front part of your head or the brain slaps into the backside of the skull, can damage that occipital lobe. Many things can damage the blood flow to it. And, you know, one of the big difficulties they had with vision is people couldn't wear contacts out in the desert environments because it was so sandy that it irritated contact so much, and so dry that it caused a severe dry eye problem. And it's amazing how dry air or sand, which can reduce your vision, you know, greatly inhibits the performance of your soldiers. So yes, eyes are taken very seriously in all protection, whether it be business or the military.
So I do wonder, does the military take more precautions now than maybe even in just 5 years ago for protecting the eyesight of those who are troops, who are on the ground?
Well, hopefully they're better at recognizing problems and treating them sooner, but we've known for a long time. So, for example, an interesting story is that the first cataract surgery that involved a lens implant, where we could put a lens in the eye that the body would tolerate, originated from a medic in World War II who noticed that the fighter pilots coming back when they had been shot at and they made it back, they may have pieces of the plastic embedded in their eye from the canopy, which they had to look through. So Harold Ridley, who is the father of the lens implants for cataract surgery, was that medic, and he was knighted in Europe, Sir Harold Ridley, several years ago. But it was because he found that when we took cataracts out of people's eyes, and maybe a few of our listeners will remember that their grandparents, after cataract surgery, did not have a lens implant and so had to have Coke bottle bottom glasses, these real thick glasses to correct their vision, which, because the lenses were so thick, distorted their vision and their peripheral vision. So they could see centrally, straight ahead pretty good, but their side vision was all distorted. And once we got these lens implants, then they only needed lightweight glasses. And all the advancements for lens implants for cataract surgery started after that, to make lens implants that could be more accurately judged for the correct power, so that people would wear thinner and thinner glasses. And now we have lens implants for the distance, where most people don't need to wear glasses after cataract surgery, assuming they've had their astigmatism corrected as well. And then also, now we have multifocal intraocular lens implants, where people can see in the distance and see up close and in between without glasses. So they can actually see better after cataract surgery than they have for decades. And all these advances started with that medic in World War II.
That is wild to hear. I had no idea the background of that.
Well, it's, you know, of course, I'm in the field, so it's interesting to read about and to hear about. And, you know, some of the most important discoveries in the world were made by people that were not the most smartest people in the world, but could put two and two together and say, hey, they thought outside the box and said, you know, this may be valuable in a totally different application. And so those are the wonderful inventors we have that have made so many creature comforts and made our life better in many different ways.
And anybody listening, if you have any eye-related questions for Dr. McCabe, you can text those in right now, 615-893-1450. So I'm curious, because you were talking about traumatic brain injuries, and those who do have them, they may have vision problems because of that traumatic brain injury. But those who have a tumor, let's say a brain tumor, maybe it's already been removed, but do a lot of folks who have a brain tumor, or diagnosed with having a brain tumor, do they have vision-related problems too?
Well, the whole thing about neurological diseases is, where is the lesion? And if the lesion is outside of the vision pathways and the vision cortex in the back of the brain, then it does not involve vision. If it's in the other lobes, the parietal or the temporal lobe, those were a lot of main strokes and damage are for from, and they cause paralysis, weakness, whether it be in our speaking or grasping or walking or any of those kinds of things. And then they can also involve higher levels that will involve our thinking, and our speaking. And depending on what side of the brain it's on can affect it. So one side may affect your ability to recognize words, even though you have 20/20 vision, reading, you cannot process what the meaning of that word is that you're reading. And then other ones on the other side of the brain, you may be able to read it just fine, but you're not able to say the word. So where it affects the brain, according to what that location is responsible, is then what ability is diminished.
And here is a text message that says, my son suffered from a brain tumor about 3 years ago when it was removed. And today his most recent diagnosis was there is a lack of proper oxygen flowing to that area of the brain where the tumor was removed. Should he expect to have any vision problems?
Well, if that area does not involve any of the vision pathways, then no, assuming it does not affect any of the other cranial nerves that are involved with the eyes. So more, we've just kind of been talking about the optic nerve, which is cranial nerve number two. Cranial nerve number one is your sense of smell. Two is the optic nerve. But then you have three, four, five, six, seven, which are also involved. Some of them open the eye. Some of those close the eyelids. Some of those make us sense an irritation on our eye, like dryness. And so we blink and moisten our eyes because of it. And some of those direct our eyes in different directions, up, down, side, you know, diagonal, all these different directions so that we can see. And so from affecting the other parts of the brain that are not in the vision pathway, but control the eyeball in some way, they may have double vision, or they may have problems where they have severe dry eyes. They can't close their eyes, you know, all kinds of things. You may have heard of people with Bell's palsy, affects the seventh cranial nerve. So that's the one responsible for closing their eyes. So they have an exposure keratitis and they have a severe dry eye problem. So there's all these kind of things that affect the eyes. You know, like I've told you before, the eyes receive 90% of all the information that our brain takes in. Oh my gosh, that is so huge. That's why they're so important. That's why it's so important to take care of your eyes. And may I mention, get an annual eye exam.
Again, Dr. Craig McCabe on the air with us, and they sent a follow-up text saying the tumor was in the middle frontal lobe area.
So no, that's going to influence your reasoning and your thinking and your foresight. So in other words, you know, the cat meows, the cat's hungry, or when this falls over, it may break this. All those abilities to think about things in the future, sometimes knowing right from wrong, all those kind of things are processed in the frontal lobe.
Man, it is wild when you start to think about all that the brain is responsible for, that this thing in your body controls so much, but yet it's not that huge, although it controls everything.
Well, you know, we say so many things. We say, like, you know, I love you with all my heart, right? You may say that to someone you care about deeply, or your children, or whatever. But your heart has nothing to do with loving them. That all, your personality, is in your brain, controlled by the limbic system and the caudate putamen and other areas that control emotions. So when you say you love someone with all your heart, you're really loving them with a small part of your brain. But it's much nicer to say all your heart.
It sounds a little bit better. It does. I love you with a small part of my brain. That just doesn't come across very well.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same impact.
Lost in translation right there.
Yeah. you know, I hear a lot of people, they say muscle memory. You know, I practice golf because I got to get my swing grooved. I got to get that muscle memory. Doesn't matter what sport you're talking about. And your muscles do not have memory. They have actin and myosin fibers and ATP that causes contraction of the myofibrils. And they can fatigue and build up lactic acid, but they don't have any memory. That's all in your brain. So instead of saying muscle memory, it's really brain memory.
Here is a text message that says, I've got a serious problem with blurriness or double vision when I look at things, especially up close. What can I do to solve this problem?
Well, there's a bunch of different reasons for that, of course, too. But the first step is to get a good, thorough, detailed eye exam. Not one where you're just looking for glasses or contacts, but one that may, you know, a medical eye exam that's going to look at so much more and can get down to the reason why this is happening. But let me tell you, you know, it's 2024, almost 2025. There's a lot of things that we can improve with your eyes, whether it be their health, your vision, their comfort, the brightness and whiteness of them. All these things can be helped with the appropriate diagnosis and treatment.
And here's one more for you. It says, I continue to have problems with having headaches on a regular basis. I've gone to a neurosurgeon. I've gone to my regular doctor, but still no answers. And they say no serious problems exist. So last resort, could it be my eyes? Seems like maybe the eyes should have been the first, you know, place to look. I don't know, though.
Yeah, you know, I get a lot of referrals from primary care doctors, whether it be internists or family practice physicians or nurse practitioners now, that, you know, the patient's having headaches or difficulties with whatever. That's one of the first things they do, you know, after they've checked all their vitals and everything, is to get them a good eye exam if they haven't had one in a while. And, you know, the incorrect glasses prescription, dry eye problems, all these things can cause eye pain that can lead to headache pain. And if you have eye problems, most headaches, I'd say probably 97% are caused by other issues. But if you have eye problems, it makes every kind of headache worse.
You know, I don't think there's much worse than a horrible headache. I mean, that just ruins your day. It's hard to get anything done when your head is severely hurting and just nonstop. I've noticed, though, my head seems to hurt a lot worse on days that it's overcast or days that it's raining outside.
Do you have a headache today?
Not that bad, but I did notice when I woke up this morning, I had just a slight headache that's kind of gone away for the most part, but I did a little bit, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, changes in humidity, changes in barometric pressure, things that we don't think about normally. That's how people know from their knees if a front's coming through, you know, all these kind of things people can pick up on. And we have to understand and respect that there's a spectrum to this. Many people will not have it. Many people will have it mild. You know, some people will have it moderate, and then a few people, unfortunately, will have it bad. And if you have bad migraines, you forget about it. You just need to curl up in the fetal position in a dark corner of your bedroom, take all your pills that you know to take, and try to sleep it off, because loud noises, certain foods, certain environments, even certain odors cause migraines. Can be triggers. Anybody who's having a hard time, I would suggest that they get checked for food allergies. This is often an underlooked problem that can make things worse. And go to a migraine specialist. This is a somewhat nebulous area that we can't always find the exact answer to. But most of the time, let's say, we can find ways to make them better.
You know, obviously we cannot live life with our eyes closed, but if closing our eyes and just resting our eyes helps our headache to go away, is that a good sign that, hey, this may be an eye-related problem?
Well, it could be bright lights, right? there's a lot of things that happen when you close your eyes. Your blood pressure typically drops down some. So there's a lot of biorhythm things that improve as well. And it's not just your eyes, but, you know, 60% of all neurological diseases have eye findings. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
So, and that's because of all this information that comes through our eyes. So, you know, if you're having trouble with anything, you haven't had an eye exam in a few years, you know, you absolutely should get another one, get it checked. And, you know, now we're going into Thanksgiving and the holidays, and I always say, what better present can you give someone than better vision? Maybe it's just a new pair of contacts or glasses. Maybe they have a bad dry eye problem, which so many that I see have. Maybe they, you know, have cataracts. Maybe they're developing glaucoma, macular degeneration, all these things that should be treated that you don't know about. So when people come in to see me every once in a while, my heart just sinks when they say, well, yeah, I haven't seen the eye doctor in years because my eyes haven't been hurting. And all these things we talked about just then don't hurt. So don't use that as your only litmus test for your reason to get an eye exam. Just like you should get your physical exam from your primary care people, you should get your good, dilated, thorough eye exam once every year or two as well.
And here is another question for you for Dr. McCabe. And this one says, dear Dr. McCabe, actually starts out with dear. It says, my 45-year-old daughter was diagnosed with Graves' disease just last week. And I'm curious, is this something she should be seeing an eye doctor for? Because I've heard of Graves' eye disease, but I don't know if there's a difference between Graves' disease and Graves' eye disease.
Well, so thyroid disease, or what we call thyroid eye disease, the most common problem is a dry eye from exposure and from lack of sufficient moisture from the lacrimal gland that makes the moisture in the eye. And it can also cause a spectrum where you can also have permanent vision loss if the swelling of the extraocular muscles, these are the ones around the eyeball that make us look left, right, up and down and such. If they get so swollen, which happens in thyroid eye disease, that they compress the optic nerve that they surround. So these kind of issues can happen. I would say start off with an ophthalmologist. And if you have more severe symptoms of these issues, they will refer you to an oculoplastics specialist who is a specific ophthalmologist that treats these diseases of the eye muscles and eye position, more of the things on the outside of the eyeball that involve our vision. And the first place to start is with your ophthalmologist.
Sounds great. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe, local eye doctor at McCabe Vision Center, on the air with us this morning. We are going to take a short break, and then when we come back, Dr. McCabe is going to answer another text, and he is going to be settling an argument between a husband and wife, it says. Are you ready for that, Dr. McCabe?
Okay, but don't hold me responsible.
All right, hold on just a second, and we'll be right back. And if you have a question for Dr. McCabe, call it in, or actually text it in if you would, 615-893-1450. We'll be right back.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
When I eat healthy, I can eat at Demas's. When I want to eat unhealthy, I can eat at Demas's. If I'm in the mood for pasta, I go to Demas's. If I want steak, I go there. It does not matter what I'm in the mood for. This is Peter Demas. The only thing we don't have is fried food. So it's very easy when you want to take a group out and there's that veto power person who's like, I don't want this. Well, we usually will have something that they want because we have such variety on our menu. The only thing we don't have is fried food. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Lessons, we got that. Drums and every other instrument with strings or keys. Music World and Drummer's Den, the one-stop shop where you have everything that you might need. Ukuleles, violins, things that they're not expecting to find just everywhere they go. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course. Music World and Drummer's Den.
I am Charlotte Gardner. I've lived at Adams Place for 3 years.
Do you have entertainment?
3 times a week. There's always entertainment. Come on. You can find bridge partners. You can find card game partners. And Mahjong is a very popular game. You never lack for something to do. Never.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
Adams Place on Memorial, across from Walmart.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here. And so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Dr. Craig McCabe, local eye doctor at McCabe Vision Center, on the air with us this morning to answer your eye-related questions. And he is now going to settle an argument between a husband and wife, or maybe. Dr. McCabe, you ready for this one?
I'm ready. Let her rip.
All right. It says here, my husband bought a brand new TV for us, and it fills the entire wall. He claims that it's better for our vision because of its size, and he says that it will allow us not to strain anymore with our eyesight. We are in our 40s, and I told him to return it immediately because it looks silly and definitely does not help our vision. I feel like saying every time our friends come over, welcome to our TV, instead of welcome to our house. Is there any truth in what he says, or is it a bunch of baloney?
Oh, gosh. Well, first of all, I will preface this that I'm somewhat biased because I am a man. I like to hold the remote, and I like a good-sized TV in front of me. And boy, have you seen some of the prices, how they've come down on these big TVs?
They really have. I remember the days where rear projection would cost you thousands of dollars. Not anymore, though.
Yeah, really good this year. You know, I have recommended a larger size TV for people that have an older, smaller TV and have some vision problems, maybe some vision diseases, because it's just like a bigger letter on the eye chart. It's easier to see it than a smaller letter on the eye chart. And sometimes instead of buying a bigger TV, you can sit a little bit closer to the TV you have. But if you're having vision problems, then a bigger TV, yes, can absolutely help you see and enjoy TV more so. Now, if you don't have vision problems and your vision is good, you know, 20/20 or so, then, you know, in America, everything's big here, right? So our normal size TV now is like a 65 inch now.
That's right.
Where 10 years ago, that was like the biggest one imaginable. So now the 65 inch TV, if you don't sit too far from it, that's plenty. I don't want to say that you have to have a 77 or an 85, or now there's 98s I saw out. If you have one where you can see the things, where you can read the menu screen, for those that use a menu screen to determine what channel they're going to watch next, or they can read the scroll on the bottom of the TV news that comes across. If you can do those things on your TV, then you probably don't need a bigger one. But if you're struggling with that a little bit, a larger size display will certainly be easier on your eyes.
That sounds perfect. You know, because what's the point of closed captions on a TV show or movie if you can't read them, right?
Exactly. I mean, I have a hard enough time with closed captions, watching the picture and reading. That's really multitasking for me. But yeah, so anyways, some of the best movies, though, are only available in closed caption. We just don't see them much in this country because of that. But they make some great movies in other countries, and then we have to use closed captions so we can understand it. But
yeah.
Let's also not forget that when you watch TV, when you watch any kind of video display screen, whether it be your cell phone, a tablet, you know, an iPad, anything like that, when you watch it for long periods of time, you do not blink at the normal rate. Studies show that we blink at half the normal rate. And blinking is what re-moisturizes our eyes. So, you know, long periods of watching TV, an iPad, your phone, any of those kind of video displays, you will end up getting dry eyes. Your eyes will feel tired. Maybe they'll get red. Maybe they'll feel sore. Maybe they'll start to water up on you. Maybe your vision will blur. These are all the hallmark signs of a dry eye problem. So if you're having that, you know, restrict your use a little bit, where every half hour you get up, you walk around, you look in the distance, or maybe you have artificial teardrops that you can put in to keep your eyes moist. And if those things do not take care of it well enough, or you're just tired of always putting artificial teardrops in, you know, come see us at McKay Vision Center. This is one of the things we specialize is dry eye problems.
You know, what I think is cool are those new, they're not new anymore, but the, you know, the projectors that project the TV onto your wall. And if you have 10-foot ceilings, I mean, you could get a really feel like you're in a movie theater almost. But the lights have to be slightly dim for that. So is that a bad atmosphere to have those dimmer lights as you're watching a show?
No, it really doesn't matter much as long as you're not prone to epileptic seizures or something like that. Because as you know, flashing lights can induce seizures in some people. Some people who have a hard time dealing with dim light, you know, they won't be able to see to eat their food, or maybe they'll trip over something in a dark room. So all those extra kind of things have to be considered as well.
You know, you brought up another thing, dim light. You know, there's some people who like it kind of dim in their house, and then there's others who like it like the sunshine or something inside their house. Is there a pro or a, you know, a con to having the lights too bright or too dim in your house, other than some people just don't do well with dim light?
Well, of course, the less light you're using, the less electricity you're using, the lower your electric bill, right?
Right.
And this is one of my pet peeves, is that when I go into a hotel, because I travel a lot, when I stay in these hotels, sometimes I got to turn on almost every light in the room to get the room overall bright enough.
Yeah.
We're using like 40-watt light bulbs. So a really, really, really good thing is to change your light bulbs out, if you haven't already, many people have, from the regular incandescent, which are really old. Maybe it's the compact fluorescent, the CFLs, the little twisty fluorescent tubes, to the LED light. And you can have both warm light and cool light, and I recommend around 5,000 degrees Kelvin, and it'll say that on the side of the box, but that's the best reading light. So any place where you sit down and you're reading a book, or maybe you're reading Knobs on the Stove, or whatever it may be, out in the garage working on things, if you have one of those daylight LED lights, you will see and read better and more comfortably.
You know, I prefer the light bulbs that are the daylight bulbs, the ones that are much brighter white color.
Yes, those are about 5,000 degrees Kelvin.
Something about those, it just seems to make everything a lot easier to see.
Exactly. That's what I'm stating. And many studies have shown this, that you will be able to read smaller print, you'll be able to read for longer time and with less eye fatigue with those LED bulbs. Now, they're a little bit more expensive. You're going to pay $250 a bulb in a value pack. You know, they're going to be on sale the next couple of weeks, just like most things. You can get it from Amazon or Lowe's or Target or Walmart, or any of these places. However, they will pay for themselves in 1 year of normal use, and they last about 15. This is why most all government buildings have switched to them a few years ago. They save them money, and it's easier on their employees. They perform better. You don't get as much eye fatigue where you have to sit back, rub your eyes, use drops, those kind of things. And it's because they give higher contrast. You know, it used to be you could read a newspaper, I'm dating myself, 15, 20 years ago, and it was black print on white paper, and now it is dark gray on a light gray background, and it's much harder to read the newspaper now. But these lights with their super white light add that contrast back. So I think that's a great suggestion for people that's inexpensive that can help them right away.
I know we're almost out of time, but I also like the newer light bulbs today because they don't get real hot like the older light bulbs used to. Remember how hot they would get?
Right. So a 100-watt equivalent LED bulb may be equivalent to an 18, 19-watt incandescent bulb. They don't get as hot. They save you money. And it makes it easier to see.
Again, Dr. Craig McCabe on the air with us this morning. And wrapping up this show, if anybody would like to learn more or maybe set an appointment to get their eyes checked or even purchase a gift card for somebody, maybe a family member, to get their eyes checked for this Christmas, what do they need to do?
They just need to give our office a call. We're in the phone book. We're on the web. You know, everything. 615-904-9024. 904-9024. Give us a call. I've got a great staff. They'd love to help you. And I hope everyone has a wonderful, safe Thanksgiving. And thank everybody. Be nice to everybody. Let's make this one of the best Thanksgivings we've had in a long time.
Sounds great. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe, McCabe Vision Center.
Thanks again.
You've been listening to Dr. Craig McCabe with McCabe Vision Center. McCabe Vision Center is in Murfreesboro at 122 Heritage Park Drive. Their phone number, 615-904-9024. Or find McCabe Vision Center online at McCabeVisionCenter.com.